In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Here we go. Here we go. It's the very first Top Button Live post-practice, and I got a request for trumpets already. So we're going to have a little trumpets in the background. I got a little bit of a dialogue to go through, and then we're going to talk. We're going to open up questions, because there's a storyline that I've been talking to folks about that I want to get to, that I think is pretty interesting, and I think is significant from what we could gather from day one. So everybody's seen that Deshaun Spencer was getting some number one reps at the slot. And I think when you saw what happened in spring with him and you saw him continue to develop, you thought, man, he's got a chance to play. And the only obstacle will be to unseat Chaz Nimrod, because Chaz is the guy. You know, Chaz is the one they brag on. Chaz is the one that they say is the most impressive. How is Deshaun Spencer going to unseat Chaz? Well, it seems like they potentially have found a solution for that, and that is to move Chaz Nimrod to the outside. Now, is that a full-time remedy? I don't know. Chaz's positional flexibility, I think, helps that. And it could be something that they're trying out to see if they can get Deshaun Spencer on the field. Two things that this means to me. Number one, Deshaun Spencer's for real. He's the best high school wide receiver that's ever come out of Saraland. That's a fact. All-time leading receiver out of Saraland. So let's just go ahead and get that out there right now. And number two, how freaking important Chaz Nimrod is. And I guess number three, you could put, hey, what does this mean for Jeremiah Koger? You know, just, it's funny, you would think Deshaun Spencer's rise would affect another slot receiver, but it kind of feels like his rise potentially has affected Jeremiah Koger on the outside with sliding Chaz out there. So Golish and Gordon and those guys, they're clearly trying to find the best, best rotation of wide receivers to get, you know, I guess the best production they can possibly get. So that was a big storyline. And then the other is just how music's a little bit loud. I'll turn it down a little bit. Is that better? Is that better as far as the music goes? Another storyline, and I kind of talked about this with Zach, and it's more carryover from spring, is when they go into stretch and kind of get warmed up, right before they break out and go to all their positions, the assistants to the assistants, you know, your GAs, your guys that aren't necessarily like your full-time coaches, they literally sprint as if the world is on fire to get their drills set up. And I love that, man. From drill to drill, there is zero wasted time. Like, absolutely none. They're firing out, trying to get everything set up. And then what that does is just allows no standing around. They're just out there trying to get reps in, get better, and you don't have to worry about not having the right equipment out there, not having everything you need, because it's there, and they're working ahead. So the on field, the assistants to the assistants are always working ahead, so that no time is wasted. We saw that in spring. We saw it even on a deeper level or a higher level today, and that's always refreshing. It's they're practicing what they preach. They're being who they say they are. And that's the bottom line. I just turned the music off. It's just distracting. I want to get into questions. So fire them in here, man. Fire the questions down, and we will talk about everything that you got on your mind. I tried to watch a little bit of everything. I did have a defensive heavy load today. Zach was a little bit more on the offense, but I do have his notes, and we can definitely talk about that. Jacob J fired up. We love you too. Thank y'all for joining. Let's go through here. Just hit me up with anything you potentially have. Jeremy White says, thanks for the content. Nice finally meeting and stopping by the restaurant. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good to finally meet you. Nimrod will play ahead of Koger at the Y. That is kind of how, I mean, that's what we talked about at the beginning. That's what it seems like. Now, it's just the question is, like, what will we see tomorrow? Will it be the same thing tomorrow? Will Chaz move back into the slot? Bottom line, Chaz, you can put Chaz anywhere, it seems like. And when you talked, we talked to him after practice, it felt like he was, you know, he feels like a captain. He feels like a guy that sort of people look up to and look towards as an example and all those things. He's actually, I think his roommate is Deshaun Spencer too, which is interesting because those are the two guys that we're talking about. Let's see. Zero Cool says, I don't know if it's a great look that Spencer is already pushing for time. He could be the absolute truth, but I just don't know about it. Why would it be a bad thing? I guess somebody being good doesn't always have to mean somebody else is bad. It doesn't have to be a zero sum. You know, like somebody doesn't have to be going down for somebody to be going up. What if he's, yeah, like you said, what if he is just that good? You did have Christian Neptune. He's still in an orange jersey. I think he primarily was going to be the guy. You know, he was going to be your guy that was going to be your starter. But I don't think it necessarily means everybody has to be bad for him to go up. Super excited. Fall camp is here. The wait is almost over. It is, man. It is. It's going to go by fast. August is going to fly by. TJ says it sounds like we're in a club in Mexico. Yeah, that's funny. Is Bryce Kane, is Zero Cool again, just a no-show? I don't know how to answer that. Because I think this kind of goes back to the zero-sum thing. I don't think it necessarily means he's bad or anything. They just like Deshaun Spencer. He's electric. He's bigger, too. He's taller than you expect, too, as well. So, I don't know how to answer that. So, let's keep going. Some people said, no, don't turn the music down. Turn it back up. Kyle, did anybody stand out when the edges and interior guys swapped coaches for Luke? Luke clearly has listened to a lot of the other shows. At one point in time, so the interior guys work together and the edges work together. And obviously the edges work with Coach Hutzler and the interior guys work with VK Dub. Well, those guys, those groups switched, but the coaches stayed the same. So the interior guys started working with Hutzler. So did anybody stand out as a pass rusher on the interior? It's really hard when they're kind of going against air. I was kind of impressed with Dallas Walker's get off. He's definitely leaned up a little bit more. And, you know, I don't think he's necessarily going to be just a one-trick pony where it's just, you know, eat up space, eat up gaps. Like, he could probably be a little bit more disruptive now that he's, you know, in a little bit better shape and going to be relied upon. He's going to have to play more snaps. He's going to have to play more than, you know, 10 or 15 snaps a game. They're going to need him to go out there and play probably 30 or 40 snaps, you know, at least half, and he can be a difference maker. Let's keep on rolling. Those poor GAs don't want to end up in the Golish Gulag. One GA, bless his heart, he didn't quite have everything Coach Hutzler needed when he needed it for one particular drill. And I was honestly embarrassed. I felt embarrassed for him. It was he gave him he gave him heck for sure. Let's see. John David Gilliam, he says, how does Jared Smith look? We only got three periods. We didn't get to see a ton. He's one of the first edges that goes in the drills. So he's clearly the guy, and off the hoof, on the hoof, or whatever you call it, whatever the saying is, he looks really, really good. Defensively, do we look like we're going to run a four-man front, or do you think it's package-specific? Four-man front can mean so many different things. I'll say this. They did a pursuit drill, okay? They did a pursuit drill, a first team. I can't say 100% it was literally first team, second team, and third team. I don't know that the combinations represented anything, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. The first team, or the third, Jared Smith and Deshaun Womack went out with the third group as far as the defensive front goes. I don't think there's any world where those two guys are third team. So with all that being said, when they would run those pursuit drills out there, there would be a front four, to answer your question. I think if I look at my notes, every single time they went out there, there was a front four. I think the first time you went out, you had Nate Marshall on one end. You had Dallas Walker in the middle, Malik Autry beside him, and then J.J. Falk. And then the next go-around, the second group comes in, and you got, your freshman, who's super dynamic, Wilkes. You had Jacquez Wilkes on the edge. You had Buddy Mathis on the inside. You had St. Ferrier beside him. And then you had Darian Smith on the outside. And then the last group rotated in. You had Jared Smith and Womack on the outsides. Then you had 91, which is Tavian Branch, and 95, which is Jordan Crawford. So that, to me, represented a four-man front every single time. I think there's going to be times, though, that the edge – the Jared Smith, the J.J. Falk, those guys could potentially drop in coverage. But at least the way they walk up to the line of scrimmage is a four-man front. Offensive line, I did not get to see offensive line today. I was on the defensive side. I'll give you the notes, though. Ty Buster, obviously, your question, how does the O-line look? Who is taking Ty Buster's place behind Rammel? I don't think Ty Buster was behind Ramil. The way that Golish described it, that pecking order, it almost seemed like it was Wilson's Zaire behind him, potentially Parker Pritchett, and then TJ Hedrick. That seemed to be more the line of guys. Buster's really – I know he's been playing a lot of tackle, and maybe he would be in there if he weren't injured, but he's really more of a guard, man. His body is really more fit for a guard. He's not super tall. He does have long arms, which is a good thing for tackle, but he just feels more like his natural position is going to be at guard. But I'll tell you this, Parker Pritchett is a massive – it was one of those that dude moments. I had to make sure. I thought it was him, and I had to go back and look at the lineup and make sure, okay, number 70, that's a dude right there. Somebody asking about running backs. I mean, kind of continuing the theme from yesterday, Omar's right there at the front of the line. And Jeremiah Cobb is so noticeably bigger. We talked to him after practice as well. He was challenged with getting bigger, and he accepted the challenge, and I think he conquered the challenge. You're going to really be able to tell a difference when you see him. So who do you think is looking good or better than in spring? The easy answer would be some of the injured guys. Champ Anthony looks phenomenal. He was working with I call them between the hash defenders. Like, he was working with the safeties and nickels, and he was going first every single time. He looks good. He looks ready to go. Brian Williams Jr., I actually talked about it on one of my shows when you do the height, weight changes, you know, when they update those rosters. And I think he was like 6'4", 210. And he looks like a whole different person. He looks like an NFL wide receiver. Like, he is so big and so long. He looks really good. Chaz obviously looks really good. I mentioned Jeremiah Cobb. Cody Sigler's really leaned up, it feels like. And he looks really good. It wasn't really anybody where I was like, dang, man, they really fell off from last year. Riddick update, I'll just tell you this. He was out there going full speed, and when they would do a linebacker drill, he was fourth in the rotation. So it was going to – when they would do a drill, it would be obviously X, then Melendez, then Diaz, then him. And I'm trying to look back when he went out on the field. He went out on the field in the linebacker second group in that pursuit drill. So he had Xavier and Melendez went out beside each other, and then he went out with is it the transfer from like Howard or somewhere, the bigger older guy. He's got a double last name. I can't remember his last name, but he's number 51. He went out with him a good bit. Let's see. From a defensive perspective, who surprised you from an effort and coach's praise standpoint? That's a good one. I'll tell you this. Chris Wells, which is Corey Wells' brother. Corey Wells was like your big time, you know, get right there before signing day. Big time interior defensive lineman, which, by the way, he's an animal. Like, he is so big. He's bigger than anybody we have on the interior. Think about that. True freshman. And that doesn't mean anybody's small. He's a monster. But Chris was very impressive, too, because, look, it's easy when you have a brother scenario and one brother's really highly rated and one brother's not, to assume that it's just a package deal. And I think there's something to Chris at edge. He's a much bigger than I expected, and looked a lot more athletic than I expected. So that one really impressed me. You can never not be impressed with those linebackers. Bryce Diaz, whenever they did the pursuit drill, they would have the four linemen, two linebackers, a nickel, two safeties, and two corners. Except for when Bryce Diaz went out on the field, they didn't have the nickel. They had him out there, like, kind of playing out in space. He's so impressive. That whole linebacker room is really, really impressive. Let's see. Jacob J., did anyone win your Dat Dude Award today? Parker Pritchett was that dude today. Lineman, I believe, from Columbus. I had to check the roster. I had to check the roster because I didn't remember him. I think he might be your tallest offensive lineman. Not that that matters, but he was standing right beside Stanton Ramil, and I was like, holy cow, that guy's bigger than Stanton. And he's really, really young. So that was pretty impressive to me. I got a bunch of super chats that I'm going to go through, and I appreciate you guys. If Sigler is better at pass rush than he was last year and his run D is a little bit better, he will be just as good, if not better, than Derrick Brown was for us. That's a big those are tall shoes. Those are big shoes to fill, not tall shoes. I was trying to combine tall hill to climb and big shoes to fill. I think you just need him to be as good or better than Malik Blockton. If you get to close to Derrick Brown, that's superb. I think you just need to be a little bit better than Malik Blockton, and you can experience zero drop-off. He's really impressive. They're really depending on him. Did they get creative with Cobb? Did they get more creative with Cobb than just a traditional running back today? does Brown seem to have command of the offense? So didn't see a team period. So to be able to utilize how they utilize Cobb. So I can't really answer that one. But I think he's just going to be, he is going to be a traditional every down running back. And he looks like every bit of a, he looks like an Auburn running back. Let's just say that. He looks like a really, really good, what you think of when you think about Auburn running back. And then Byram, man, not only does he have command of the offense, but like he has command of the team. Yesterday when we were leaving, Zach and I were walking out and Byram was walking in and he like altered his path to come make sure that he greeted us. And it was almost like, welcome to my building. That's all. That's how me and him, that's me and Zach, what we both said. It's like, I own this building. Welcome. That's the feeling it had. And in not a bad way. Like it was really, really cool. He's very impressive. Did they punt today? Yes, they did. But we had such a limited viewing period. I didn't see anything about special teams. I know they were there. I saw Alex McPherson, but I did not see. I did not see any like kicking specialists in action. More touches in this offense: RB3 or tight end 1. Boy, that's tough. So RB3, and it's just strictly touches. I think I'm going to go with RB3. I just don't think that tight ends are a huge part. I mean, if they get, 15 to 20 catches, will a running back 3 get 15 to 20 touches? That's a tough one. That may be equal. Great question, by the way. If there's injuries, obviously that could get a little murky. But I think if everybody stays healthy, I think I would go RB3. I really do. And I don't, again, that does not have to be a bad thing. What were, RX Eagle, what were the strength and nutrition programs doing before that veterans guy have changed their bodies so much in one summer? Okay, what were the strength and nutrition programs doing before that veteran guys seem to have changed their bodies so much in one summer? You know, you can only do as a nutrition guy, you can only do so much. You have to have implementation. Like, they don't have the power to implement. Like, that's got to come from the top down. And does the top care that much? Does the top put that much emphasis on it? And clearly, Alex Golish puts a huge emphasis on the little things. I know y'all are probably tired of me hearing me say the little things, but nutrition is a big deal. That's why this cafeteria thing, the diet training table, is such a big deal. That's why it's a big deal for them to make sure that they eat their meals in there, you know, so they can know what's going into their bodies. And I'm sure once the kitchen part of it is open, right now the kitchen is still under construction. The cafeteria part's open. They're still catering food in for the guys to eat their meals. Eventually they're going to be preparing the meals there. So I would imagine it'll get even more detailed because it'll probably have like a per position group, maybe even a per player regimen of food and diet and things like that for them to take, you know, to take part in. So I hope that answers your question. I don't think that it's necessarily anybody doing anything different. It's the message and the emphasis that's being put on it from the top, and you're seeing the games. You're seeing the gains. Hope that answers your question. Let's see here. Scrolling through. Were we dropping passes today? God knows if we have six less drops, our season looks totally different last year. I didn't notice many drops that were like visibly like a big deal or a problem. There weren't many in spring either. There were some in the, you know, that tight end room, but for the most part, they were pretty solid. This is the linebacker, Michael Matthews Canty, correct? Speak more to Diaz playing nickel. I don't think they would have called that a nickel. He's just more athletic enough. He's just an athletic enough that he could line up in space if they needed to be. So imagine you're playing a team that has a really good tight end that they split out, that they don't necessarily have attached to the line. He could play in space like that and be not only defend that guy in space, defend that tight end in pass defense, but he could also come up and be a factor stopping the run, maybe another blitzer off the edge. He's just a really gifted athlete, man. And he's not like a traditional linebacker that you think could be exposed if they're out there in space and not like playing the ball in front of them, if that makes sense. Remember, he had a big interception in the A-Day game playing like a similar role. That was kind of the role I think he was playing when he picked off Myron Brown. Let's see. How about a dat dude per position group? This is fun. All right, obviously quarterback's Byron Brown. Running back, Jeremiah Cobb. He's a freak, man. I'm telling y'all, doesn't look the same. Does not look the same. I mean, he looks every bit of 220 pounds to me. I know he's not. He may be closer to like 215. Offensive line, I've already gone Parker Pritchett. Tight ends, I was really impressed with Jonathan Echols today, just from a that dude perspective. Really long, really muscular. Doesn't look like a boxy tight end like you would think of. He looks like a really, really super oversized wide receiver. Wide receivers, Brian Williams Jr. On the defensive line, Corey Wells is my interior. That dude, like, oh my God, who's 98? I got to go look at that. Oh, that's the freshman. Defensive end, I'm going to give his brother. I'm going to say his brother wins that award. Linebacker to me, Bryce Diaz really jumped off the page. Those other guys are so impressive, though. Like, that's splitting hairs. Safety, Eric Winters is huge. And I would throw Champ Anthony in that category, too. And then at corner, I was really Scrap Richardson caught my eye a couple of times. For just his length. I don't know if that means anything as far as his playing rotation, but he's a name you don't hear very often, and he's good looking. Gavin Jenkins is too. Like they look like, you know, they look like SEC defensive backs. Let me keep going. Let's see. Luke Wigington, do you think Bryce King being lower on the depth chart is because of drops? I know he had drops in A-Day and in the practice we saw in spring. Could be. Didn't he have a fumble last year too? I know last year doesn't have a whole lot to do with this year, but it seems like he had a catch at some point in the year last year and maybe fumbled one, or was that his freshman year? Regardless, it seems like other guys are just outplaying him right now. It's a long camp, though. Long camp, anything can happen. Anything on Malik Autry, we never see or hear anything from him. He was in that first defensive line group that went out. Again, I don't know how much value you can put in that because I obviously feel like he and Cody Sigler are going to play similar positions. There's only so many guys that can play at once. He plays the same – they want him to have the same role as Cody Sigler, and, you know, how many snaps do they want Cody Sigler to play? I would say Malik's probably right behind him right now. That's probably your number two guy right there. This is a good question. Pat, do you feel like the defense will be on the same level as last year? I know there are a lot of new pieces, but it sounds like the coaches are really high on some of the guys. To me, it all boils down to two things. And the linebackers may be good enough to help supplement. The linebackers could be so far ahead of potentially where last year's were that it could supplement some of the front four. You can't call it deficiencies because they're good players, but essentially maybe like a step down in talent. Look, Keldrick Falk is Keldrick Falk. It's going to be hard to replace that. And, you know, some of the other guys that you lost, Malik was really good. So, can they be as good? Yes, I think so. I'm more excited about seeing the defensive backs and the depth and the options they have back there as well. Yeah, I think they could be as good. It may look different. They may take some more chances this year. And you got some young sophomores that you think can explode. Pass rush is still a question mark to me because you just haven't seen it. It's all potential. But if they can get those pieces figured out, I think they can be just as good. Which Wells brother is injured and to what extent? They're both at practice today. It's Corey, the interior defensive lineman, that Golish said was day-to-day. He did not have an orange jersey on, from what I could see. He was out there. So I don't even know how much he's limited. So actually, I feel like Golish said he might be more towards the end of camp, but he was out there and he was not off to the side. He was not working in the indoor from what I could tell. Let's keep rolling. How did Zach feel about the cornerbacks? We'll have to ask him tomorrow because he watched offense today. Let's see here. Would it be a mistake to think that Malik Autry has confidence issues or has he just got buried on the chart? I don't think he's buried. I think he's number two. I think he's right behind Sigler. I mean, there's going to be some packages where in some pass rushing downs, they may sub out Sigler and put in Darian Smith. But I think like your every day, like that position, I think he's number two. So I don't think he's behind at all, really. Let's see here. Let's keep going. For Fred Gassing to have such a big footprint at USF, I've heard very little about him. This may be a similar situation. He was in the safeties room. Or he was in the safeties and nickels area working out today. But think about all the dudes there. Okay. Your safeties. You got three, Anquan Fagans, Eric Winters, and Caleb Harris. Okay, you got those guys. And then at nickel, you're bringing Champ back into the mix, and you got Sylvester Smith as well. So where does he go? Who do you sit for Fred Gaskin to be able to get snaps? I think that's the only reason, you know, you're hearing about him less than you think you would. And that's really the only reason. There's some dudes back there. So I feel like if our defense can line up like last year's, it could help give a confidence boost to the offense. I think so too. You stop playing so timid, so like if we don't score here or so much pressure, like, man, they keep getting us the ball back. We got to score eventually. Maybe you can play a little bit more loose. Like they're going to go get us the ball back and we just feel good like we're going to go score. Reverend Barnbooster, do you see a positive culture difference with AG and company versus previous head coach administration, reading about it is different than seeing it in person. I kind of described that, Rev, at the very beginning. It's night and day, bro. It's night and day from energy. It's night and day from organization. It's night and day from just going from drill to drill. Now, the defensive side ain't much changed there. Like, those guys still get it done. But it's when you see the same thing now on the offensive side, like, it's not even a comparison. Like, it's not even close to the same vibe in the same thing that was going down last year. Did I see Gavin Jenkins today? Yes, I did. He's good. I didn't, for whatever reason, I don't feel like I ever got up close to him in spring. I got up a little bit closer to him towards the end of our viewing period, and they were doing some like ball tracking drills. When Golish says he's an NFL corner, at least the way he looks, he's got the body of an NFL corner. He looks really good. Do a couple more, then we're going to get out of here because we got more practice tomorrow. We're going to do this again tomorrow, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I know it was the first practice, but how is the overall atmosphere? I kind of answered this a little bit around the guys in practice. Any hands on hips trying to catch breath, or were they fired up and ready to go? They were fired up, man. It looks like whatever they did in the summer, they were going pedal to the metal, because I was getting exhausted trying to keep up with it. But I don't remember seeing anybody sucking wind, having hands on hips, laying out. Whatever they did in the summer, they looked totally prepared. They looked totally prepared and totally organized. Like, they knew exactly what they needed to do, what was expected of them. And then they just kind of went out and did it. I think I mentioned Scrap a little bit earlier. He jumped out and kind of caught my eye a little bit. Haven't noticed him a ton. He's a good-looking player. Let's see. After Caleb Harris, DeMarcus Riddick taking a step back last year, why are we so interested in putting them back into the fire? Fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice. Riddick was just injured. That was his deal last year. Caleb Harris, you want him back in the fire because you know what his potential is. And I don't even know that last year was necessarily a step back as it was just a little bit. He didn't have a lot of those highlight reel plays. I think he still was one of the team leaders in tackles last year. You just want him to get back to, you know, his freshman year version of himself. No, I think Caleb Harris is a boss. He's a draft pick. He can be a draft pick. And then DeMarcus Riddick's the most athletically gifted linebacker you have. And that's saying a lot. How's Rayshon Pleasant? Saw Rayshon. He looked good. He's big. How much weight do you think Golish has dropped from spring to fall? I would say at least 30 pounds. Maybe more. He looks really good. He's being who you say. He's following the slogan, be who you say you are. Let's see. What's one player who needs to dominate these next 13 days? This could be playing time or even something else. So let's take this from, like, let's take this in two ways. Who needs to dominate because they could be behind? And then who needs to dominate for Auburn to continue to be, you know, continue to excel, continue to be really, really good, or at least be on a good trajectory? To me, with the emergence of Deshaun Spencer, Christian Neptune's going to have to dominate, or he could get sort of left out to dry with the emergence of Deshaun Spencer. So that's one that I think that's behind that's going to have to dominate if he's going to be a part of the main rotation. He's going to be a part of the rotation, but the main rotation. And then I think you got to continue to have Stanton Ramil have these good practices and continue to get better. He, to me, is the difference between, you know, just being okay and potentially having, you know, something fun to watch. I think that's going to be all today. We got practice again tomorrow at 9. We'll go live again tomorrow afternoon at 2. That's the plan. So make sure you're here. Have your questions ready. I'm going to be focusing in like a laser beam on offense. I'll have all the running back questions you can ever ask. The answers to all the running back questions you could ever ask. I'll have the wide receiver rotations, quarterbacks, everything. Offensive line, that's going to be my focus tomorrow. And we'll make sure that we have a lot of good stuff. Thank y'all for joining. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for the super chats. We'll talk again soon. We're out of here.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.